ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Thank you for being here. Today, we will hear from His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj, His Holiness Sukadev Swami Maharaj, and I will also say something. Gauranga Prabhu has selected the topic, but he has not told me what it is.
Appreciating Vaishnav compassion.
I'll begin by appreciating your Vaishnav compassion for giving us such a good topic. So we will begin with Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj speaking. Let us welcome him back to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. For many years, Maharaj was an executive manager in a big bank. And then, when he was at the peak of his ever-increasing promotions in his career, he came to be a brahmachari at Radha Gopinath. And he was the temple president for many years here. And he did so much incredibly wonderful lecturing some of the people that he discovered as students and watered the seed and brought them to the point of surrendering their lives to Krishna, or Gauranga Prabhu and Radhe Shyam Prabhu, among so many others. And he was the temple president of Belgaum and regional secretary of Karnataka. And then from that point, by the incredibly enthusiastic persuasion of leaders of India, he became the temple president of Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan for several years. Did incredible services there. And now he's traveling. He goes very prominent in London and the UK and still Belgaum and Europe. Australia too you went, yes? He's traveling all over the universe. Especially empowered by Narada Muni. And known for his incredible scholarship, not only eloquent in his speaking, but he brings people's hearts right to the essence, and his good character and humility and Vaishnav culture. He has very much enchanted the hearts of devotees all over the world. And we are so honored and grateful, Maharaj, that you are with us today. Let us once again welcome him very loudly and enthusiastically. And we also have His Holiness Sukadev Swami Maharaj. He used to just take buses and trains and go to colleges around Bombay back in the 80s. brought so many people to the path of bhakti, known for his renunciation. He's a doctor. He was a medical doctor, believe it or not. And he sacrificed so much to come to the path of bhakti and became a brahmachari and started treating people's spiritual illnesses. Extremely influential in how he impacts people's lives. He established Krishna consciousness in a beautiful way in Kurukshetra. He was a pillar of preaching here in Mumbai in the very early days. And he also is now in Nellore in Andhra Pradesh, yes? And there he's established a beautiful temple and congregation. And he's very deeply loved wherever he goes for his humility, his capturing the essence of Krishna consciousness, his very uniquely ecstatic kirtans, and as I said, his renunciation and devotion. And we're so honored, Maharaj, that you have come here to be with us. Wherever he goes, people just deeply trust him because they see he's wise, childlike, and empowered. Let us welcome very enthusiastically and loudly Shukadev Bhagavan. His Grace Gauranga Prabhu has given us this topic. But you can speak on anything you like. I have to say that because that's usually what I do.
Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Melitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. So yes, I have to see His Holiness Radhanath Swami's mercy in the sudden call for both of us to come and give class here. We were not expecting, and we were hoping we would be able to hear. But the topic is very interesting, appreciating Vaishnava compassion. It's sometimes hard to appreciate Vaishnava compassion because there is too much passion. In Hindi, the word kam means less. So when there is less passion, then we can appreciate compassion also. We see this in the lives of the two sons of Kuver, Nalakuvar and Manigreve. They were engaged in acts of passion and ignorance. They were intoxicated. They were not clothed. And they were in the company of many ladies and they were sporting near a body of water. And just at that time, by the arrangement of the Lord, the great devotee Narad Muni happened to walk by. The ladies became ashamed and tried to cover themselves up and be decent, at least in front of a sadhu like Narada Muni. But these two brothers, the sons of Nalakuvar and Manigreve, the sons of Kuvera, they were completely oblivious of the presence of Narada Muni and continued on with their activities. Narada Muni saw this and began to reflect on their condition. And he felt that these two were so intoxicated by pride, born out of their opulence and their beauty and so on, that this was indeed their greatest enemy. So he felt that he had to relieve them of this pride, this arrogance, of their own opulence and so on. In Sanskrit, the word pride is called mada, which also means intoxicating. There is matta, there's pramatta, and there's unmatta, different degrees. There's illusion, there is intoxication, there is madness. And they're all different degrees of the same thing. So, when one becomes illusioned by proprietorship and enjoyership in this world, then one becomes mad. Nunam pramattah kurute vikarma yad indriya priyataya apranoti. As Rishabhdev Maharaj says, one should not become addicted to the madness of this world, because that causes us to forget reality. We are put into a state of illusion. And then there is no question of us working for our own welfare. So these two sons of Kuvera, having been completely under the influence of illusion because of their opulence, were unable to perceive the great mercy that had come in their lives in the form of the association of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni very kindly proceeded to curse them, to relieve them of this pride. Now, a curse is generally a word that has a negative connotation. We always think of a curse as being harmful, dangerous, and so on. But when a great devotee like Narad Muni offers a curse, then it's actually a benediction. So Shukadeva Goswami says that Narad Muni blessed them by cursing them. In other words, he offered his mercy to them. Out of his compassion, he cursed them to become trees. And when they became a little repentant, he explained that they would be delivered by the Lord in some future time. They had to wait for a long, long time, for many years. But even though they became trees, in the courtyard of Maharaj Nanda in Vrindavan. So what a great fortune it is to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna crawled and played. Shrutim apare, shritim smritim itare, bharatam anye, bhajantu bhitaha. Aham iha nandam vande krishnande param brahma. The shloka goes that, I think this is Raghupati Upadhyay who prays, that there are some people who worship the Upanishads, some worship the Puranas, some worship the Mahabharata and so on, but they do so bhajantu bhava bhitaha, because out of fear of this material existence. But as far as I am concerned, I don't need to worship all these other things. I simply worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard yasyalinde param brahma, the param brahma, Supreme Lord Krishna, crawled like an ordinary child. So the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj is such a worshipable place, because the Supreme Lord crawled there. Who can imagine the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all power, the source of everything, the ultimate absolute truth, who can move faster than the speed of the mind, who is all-knowing, that he's crawling anywhere. So such is the extraordinary nature of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, especially in Vrindavan. So Nala Kuvar and Manigri, first of all, became trees in that courtyard. So how fortunate they were. They had to wait for a long time. But such a wait is not fruitless. And given the time span of eternity, it is just a flashing speck of time. Very soon, Lord Krishna appeared there and he performed his most wonderful Damodar Leela. And then he pulled the grinding mortar between these two trees. They had become Arjuna trees. They're called Yamala Arjuna trees, the twin trees. And he pulled them down and released Nalakuvar and Manigriva from the bodies of trees. They emerged with their golden forms, and having been blessed to understand their good fortune now, they offered their obeisances to Krishna, they glorified him, and they appreciated now their great fortune in having been cursed by Narad Muni. Now the understanding had dawned upon them. They asked only for Prema Bhakti. And Satyavrat Muni therefore also asked, Tatha Prema Bhaktim Svakam Me Prayaccha. Say, you gave Kuviratma Jao Bhakti Baddheva Murti. Murti, Baddha Murti, you were a Baddha Murti, O Krishna. You had been tied to the grinding mortar. And to these two brothers of sons of Kuvera, you blessed them with Prema Bhakti. So I also want that Prema Bhakti. I don't want anything else from you. So such was their fortune that Narad Muni cursed them. And what did they get in return? They got Prema Bhakti, personally awarded by Krishna, who came in front of them face to face. Otherwise, normally, a curse would be something very terrible. For example, we hear of the curse of Durvasa Muni, or we hear of other curses in this world. But the curse of a great devotee like Narad Muni is actually an exhibition of the extreme compassion that he felt for the degraded condition of these two people. What is our greatest enemy? What is the most harmful thing in our life? The answer is that which keeps us away from love of Godhead, and that which keeps us away from Krishna. And if that thing that keeps us away from Krishna is pride and illusion and so on, then any so-called curse that destroys that is actually the greatest blessing for us. As Kunti Maharani also says, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Madhapuman Naivarhatya Vidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. My dear Krishna, when someone has this fourfold opulence, or even one of these four things, Janma, high birth, Aishwarya, lot of wealth, Shruti, high learning, Shri, beauty, one becomes intoxicated. Edhamana madaha puman. Again the same word comes in, mada. A person who has these four so-called desirable objects of this world, he becomes intoxicated with pride. Naivarhatya vidhatum vai tvam akinchana gochara. Therefore, he cannot approach you in a proper spirit. He cannot approach you helplessly. Unless one approaches the Supreme Lord in a spirit of helplessness, one cannot achieve the mercy of Krishna. So long as one takes shelter of these four things, high birth, beauty, intelligence and learning, and so on, one will not be able to cry out helplessly. One will think one has the qualifications to manage one's own affairs. So Queen Kunti has made a very pertinent point. only in Akinchana, one who is completely sold out to the Lord, so to speak, who has given up all personal plan making independent of the plans of the Lord, only such a person can actually approach Krishna with feeling. And for one who approaches Krishna with feeling, Krishna is very close by. He is easily available. So what Narad Muni did was that he removed that barrier between the two sons of Kuvera and Lord Krishna. The barrier of intoxication and pride born out of opulence, beauty, and so on. So the mercy of the great devotees like Narad Muni may sometimes, or even often, not be recognized as such. The mercy of the pure devotees is the mercy of Krishna. Brahmande brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev guru krishne prasade paye bhakti lata bij. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Rupa Goswami, that some fortunate jiva soul, after wandering through many, many lifetimes within this universe, may somehow, by a great stroke of fortune, achieve the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to that, that the word prasad or mercy is very important. It is by the mercy of Krishna that one gets Guru, and then the Guru, by his mercy, shows us the way to obtain Krishna. So by mercy of Krishna we get Guru, by mercy of Guru we get Krishna. This is how the mercy works. So how does one obtain the mercy? How does the mercy come from the Guru and the Vaishnavas? It comes, Srila Prabhupada explains, by the process of instructions. When one follows the instructions, then one obtains the mercy. And in this way, one moves ahead in the path of Krishna consciousness towards ultimate perfection and fulfillment. In the course of our striving for success, many obstacles will certainly come. And we also have to train ourselves to see them as the mercy of the Lord. And these may even come through the medium of many devotees or the spiritual master, and one should see them in that light, that everything that happens in our life is by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, including the difficulties that may come. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. The jiva is entitled to the kingdom of God, but in order to receive his inheritance, so to speak, one has to be completely dedicated unconditionally to the lotus feet of the Lord, to his service. And then, if one tolerates difficulties that may come in life, thinking that they are because of our own deeds from the past, and one continues to serve with one's heart, with one's words and body, then eventually success will be ours. Manu, the famous lawgiver for humanity, in his Manu Samhita, the Manu Smriti, talks about the Daya Bhak principle. The Daya Bhak principle is what governs the principle of inheritance in the Vedic culture. This child inherits the fortune of the parent. So according to the same principle, therefore, Brahma in this prayer has used the word Daya Bhak, that we are all children of the Lord, and we also inherit the kingdom of God, provided we learn to see that all the so-called calamities and misfortunes that happen in our life are the mercy of the Lord and the blessings of the pure devotees of the Lord. whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked to give blessings, he would always say, Krishne Matir Rahu, or Krishne Matir Astu. May your mati, or your intelligence, be inclined towards Krishna. In other words, may you be always Krishna conscious. That was Mahaprabhu's blessing to everyone. He would not give blessings in the way that the people of this world would understand it. Chiranjeevi Bhava. May you live for a long time. Ayushman Bhava. Have a long life. No. So the real mercy, the real blessings come to us in whichever way, whether we perceive them to be harmful or nice, but the real blessings and mercy are those that actually remove the obstacles between us and Krishna and that help us to progress towards pure Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Nice.
तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तकं जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो अप्रिशिएटिंग the Vaishnava compassion. So the compassion, the word is used when a person is helped in any way, materially, if he has some problem, you help him and you are compassionate on him. But that doesn't really solve the problem, doesn't completely solve the problem. Material solution can really solve the problem. Like we are in a incompatible situation, either this body or this material world. So real compassion can never be anything of this mundane world. So appreciating Vaishnava compassion, that also needs intelligence to understand the compassion of a Vaishnava. Generally, the Vaishnavas are not so well understood or appreciated in this world. Because their approach to the problems of the world is something that an ordinary person or an average person cannot comprehend how what the Vaishnavas are doing is actually the most compassionate activity. Like I was remembering one or two things from Prabhupada Lilamrut. The Prabhupada was traveling in the train, probably from Chennai to Hyderabad, and wherever the train stops, because Prabhupada was surrounded by many devotees, in those days, most of them were foreign devotees. So it is a strange sight for Indian people, that so many foreigners wearing saffron clothes and are following an Indian Swamiji. So people are all gathering in good numbers. They want to take the blessings of this big Swamiji, Prabhupada. So they are all trying to see Prabhupada, be in his presence. And the senior devotees of Prabhupada, having seen the atmosphere of India, where people are not really serious about spiritual life, and they go to a sadhu for some blessings to alleviate their material suffering or a problem. So the disciples of Prabhupada, they did not want these people to disturb Prabhupada. So they were not allowing them to come inside. And when Prabhupada watched for some time, then he said, "All right, let them all come in." So they all came. And as it is the case, they want to touch the feet of Prabhupada and take his blessings and like that. And jokingly, Prabhupada said, "You all want my blessings?" So immediately they were all bright-faced and want to receive the blessings. Said, "If you get my blessings, you'll also be like them." So, you know, young people shaven heads and all that. And they all looked around and then slowly started slipping out from the compartment. So actually, it is such a nice thing. Prabhupada is offering them. it is so difficult to get devotional service, and Prabhupada is willing to offer them. And Prabhupada was capable, and they are all slipping out. The another thing was also like I was reading from Watering the Seed book of Giriraj Maharaj. So one person was smoking and he was coming to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to see that he gave up smoking. So Prabhupada asked him, "So did you give up smoking?" He could not say yes. Instead he said, "Unless you give me your special blessings, how can I overcome my weakness?" So you want my special blessings? Then Prabhupada cited this sloka of Bhagavatam. It says, "Yashyaham anugrunami harishye taddanam sane." You know? So, which means, if the Lord has a special mercy on anybody, He will take away all his material facilities, and he will be forced to surrender to Krishna. So here the point is, if this well-to-do man, not so old in life, if he can try a little hard, he can overcome the smoking. But when he told this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, all right, then you lose everything, you lose everything, then you will not have even money to smoke. Like, you know, sometimes. You know. So that means we have to see such dire circumstances that, you know. So, Vaishnava compassion, actually, like Bhagavad Gita says, like Chaitanya Sishastakam says, it's a joyful process, but because we don't immediately see the relation between what we are doing and how we can solve our problems. Especially, what we are doing is so simple, we cannot believe that it will lead to such a supreme joy in life. Like even in that famous Gopi Geet sloka, Tava Katamritam Tapta Jeevanam. In the last line, it says, Bhurida Jana, that means you are the most munificent person because you are spreading the holy name or the glories of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Even when we want material prosperity, material well-being, as devotees, we preach, you know, when we go to people, we tell them, when you attempt material ways in order to attain material prosperity, you cannot guarantee whether you will get it or not, but it is guaranteed that when you attempt spiritual life, these material facilities are they follow. No, like we say, when a devotee is practicing devotional service, the test will come. You know, Mukil Dasmin Seva. There's a sloka, it says, like, when a person seriously attempts devotional service, the dharma, ardha, kama, and moksha, these things, because nobody can attain pure devotional service or can go back to Godhead without becoming free from a tinge of all these material attractions. So a person who is seriously attempting devotional service, just as a test, even all these facilities, these comforts, these things will come in the way of a devotee. So, the real Vaishnava compassion is that we should try to serve the Lord, we should try to please the Lord. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, this sloka is there. Urdham gachyanti sattvastha, madhye tishtanti rajasa, jaganna guna vrittisa, adho gachyanti tamasa. Urdham gachyanti sattvastha. If one tries to place himself in the mode of goodness, so he becomes entitled to both. This world is designed in such a way that people who are trying to come to the mode of goodness or even try to transcend the mode of goodness, these worldly gains are like trifflings. They are like nothing, they just come. So these things cannot satisfy us. So Vaishnavas, they are not understood, but still Vaishnavas, they are persistent, they are determined in their efforts. Like we have the story also, like when devotees go out here and there, and in this world few people are interested in trying to know this, understand this. So Srila Prabhupada told, when you are trying to spread devotional service, which is a new thing for conditional brains, but because you are convinced, you just be determined, and you see that in the course of time, you see that so many people become devotees. You know, like he told this story, like whenever somebody is a preacher, in the beginning people ridicule him, people ignore him, but when they continue to see him around and is enthusiastic and is consistent and satisfied, then slowly people who are left with some brain substance, they want to how alone, how with no appreciation for him, still is continuing to do these things, what he's getting. So people want to discuss. The beginning is ridiculing and ignoring that person, and then slowly they are willing to discuss, they want to talk. And then when they actually sit with a Vaishnava and talk to him, and they see that it's a very real and everlasting way to happy life. You know? This is spreading the holy name, whatever may be the problem, we tell them you chant Hare Krishna. No? So, when we chant Hare Krishna, any of these things can happen which will help you to overcome the problem. One thing is, when we chant Hare Krishna, we may get a higher taste. Because we don't have higher taste, we are attached to some petty things. When we begin to chant, then we will begin to let go. All right, I'm getting something better than this. Or, like many times devotees say, like, when I started the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, it is so blissful and ecstatic. And then as I continue to stay, I don't find it like in the beginning. So that is Krishna's way of tricking a person. And then you come, and then you want to question it, go deeper into that, and want to avoid offenses, and take the whole process in a systematic way. So in the beginning, you know? So that way Krishna can give us a little taste. And you know, like we also read in the Bhagavatam, how Narada Muni, after spending time with his saintly people during Chaturmasya, and then they left, and then he continued the thing, and he had a glimpse, and after that it was not there anymore. And when he was very despondent, very morose, and then the Lord spoke to him, like, you know, that like Maharaj was saying in the Vipralamba, ecstasy and separation and ecstasy and separation and happiness and union. So when you have that glimpse, then we want to only attempt that, because it is an experience that cannot match with anything of this world. No? I was also remembering like the name Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj. No? Parikshit means one who examines everything. So in the womb of his mother, when he was in the womb, that time itself, when Aswatthama, he released the Brahmastra, and mother Uttara, she prays to protect the last child of this Kuru dynasty. Then the Lord appears in the womb and protects Parikshit Maharaj from the effect of Brahmastra. And Parikshit Maharaj had the vision. So when he takes birth, because he already right in the womb of his mother, he had the glimpse, darshan of the Lord. So he has no taste, he has no attraction for anything of this world. So it is for free and it is easy, but it is difficult to understand using our material intelligence. So when the Vaishnavas are kind, they give us our association, they remain patient, they wait, forgiving our shortcomings, and they continue to be kind and slowly. That's why we say it takes gallons of blood to make one person a devotee. So finally, it can also be said like it takes a Vaishnava to understand another Vaishnava, is it? Because there's a common knowledge, the common endeavor, and so we have an idea what a devotee of the Lord is doing in this world. So appreciating the compassion of a Vaishnava, it is said like whenever disciples, they go and distribute books, because we know that I'm not so pure, I'm not so realized, I'm not so eloquent to convince the other person, but you can give him a book, Prabhupada, he can preach to that person. Similarly, when we go out, bring people, generally, you know, it's like if you are proper Vaishnavas, like when a senior Vaishnava is preaching, we don't try to help him, or we don't try to say that I have a better idea to tell, and then we don't interject, you know. Whenever somebody is with a senior Vaishnava, we are very comfortable that he is in the presence of the right person, just to watch. You know? It's not that he has to speak and all that. No? Even it said like Vaishnava, by looking at the other person, by even smiling at him, by patting him. You know? Many things can radiate. It's a transcendental process. So when we take people to senior devotees or the spiritual master, actually we are bringing him to get Vaishnava compassion. This way, transcendental path is something not of this world. It is our gains are not of this world. The process is not of this world. But only we should gain that faith and that courage to attempt it. And we see that it opens a whole new dimension. You know, we call it the fourth dimension of life. So, appreciating Vaishnava compassion is not an easy thing. It will all be thought. It will also be thought in the company of Vaishnavas. Then we begin to see why we are being chastised, why we are neglected, or even when we're unqualified, because seeing our sincerity, still we are being appreciated. Like we may think, so the Vaishnava has his own astra and sastra, how to get around a person to appreciate this path. Hare Krishna.
Heard from His Holiness Bhakti-rasamrita Maharaj Shukadev Maharaj. These profound realizations of appreciating Vaishnava compassion. Both of them referred to Narada Muni. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught, if we want to understand the very essence of the scriptures, it is possible through studying the lives of the great souls. Mahajano yena gata sabanda, to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. Narada Muni is such a Mahajan. We heard from Maharaj how he blessed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva through an apparent curse. Can you imagine, to a materialistic mind, what a curse that is. To curse someone to die is not so bad. Because in those days, everyone knew that the soul is eternal. Manigriva and Nala Kuvera are the sons of Kuvera, who was a very powerful devotee, demigod. So the demigods, they may have their attachments, but they know that the soul is eternal. So if you curse someone to die, then, you know, you're going to take another birth. But to curse someone who's beautiful and who is addicted to have beautiful woman, all sort, not earthly women, heavenly women, who want to enjoy with you because you're so beautiful and you're so intelligent and you're so wealthy, to be cursed to become a tree for thousands of years. That's worse than death, yes? Tree
nobody's attracted to trees. Not even other trees are really attracted to trees. To stand in one place for a long period of time, it was really a painful curse. But as Maharaj was telling, a Vaishnav, his only concern is the well-being of others. Paradukaduki. It's not that Narada Muni was offended himself because he was walking by and these people were naked in a lake of water. We heard some beautiful glorifications of Srila Prabhupada's compassion from Shukadeva Maharaj. Prabhupada was brought to the Morning Star Ranch where people actually, humans, were living in trees naked. It's association. And Prabhupada just walked by him like, something extraordinary. Naked hippies. And Prabhupada said, if people are naked, if they enjoy that, they may take their next birth as trees. And obviously, Prabhupada was connecting it to this lila that Maharaj was telling us of Nala Kuvera and Manigrima. But he wasn't offended. He didn't curse them to be trees. He just, just led them in kirtan. So Prabhupada is a disciplic parampara representative of Narada Muni. So obviously Narada Muni wasn't offended by them. He felt sorry for them. He wanted to help them. They were intoxicated, not just by liquor, but they were intoxicated by false pride. Maharaj quoted Kunti Devi, Tvam Akinchina Gocharam. As long as one is intoxicated by the pride of having high birth, high wealth, high knowledge, and beauty, then one cannot cry out for Krishna. One cannot take shelter. But one who has nothing, Akinchina Gocharam, can actually cry out for Krishna with feeling. So Narada Muni, just his blessing, apparent curse, was to take away everything that they were proud of so that they could, in course of hundreds and hundreds of years in that situation, when Krishna would actually live in their courtyard, they could appreciate Krishna. They could focus on Krishna. They weren't being distracted. There's not much to be distracted on as a tree. And they're standing next to each other, two brothers, Haribo. And they had full consciousness. So yes, Narada Muni's apparent curse was a blessing. But then we heard from Shukadeva Maharaj how Narada Muni became Narada Muni. You see, you're not really qualified to give that you're not qualified to give those types of blessings unless you're actually willing to receive those blessings. I remember long ago, one of my god brothers, he preached to me so strong, I'm not going to go into details, because I didn't want to take sannyas. I guess I'm going into the details. I was totally against becoming a sannyasi. I didn't want to get married. I just wanted to be a brahmachari, because brahmachari life is so nice. Married life, I just felt too unqualified for that. That was just too of a high position for a little guy like me. Just let me be a brahmachari. And sannyas, you know, people start calling you Maharaj. What kind of Maharaj, great king? I just want to be a das, anu das. Just let me mind my own business and milk some cows and do some preaching and, you know, go to some colleges and meet people and bring them to the path of bhakti as an instrument of Prabhupada's mercy. That's all I want to do. What is this, Maharaj? And they were pushing and pushing the whole community, and this one person who was my elder, senior godbrother, he was a grihastha, and he was saying, if you don't take sannyas, you are a fallen soul and this and that, because you are disobeying the instruction and the will of the community and our leader. And he went on and on and on. I said to him, well, why don't you take sannyas? He said, because I'm not ordered to do so, you are. I couldn't defeat that, because he wasn't ordered to do it, and I was. Oh, but I learned a good lesson from that. Ultimately, I did, and I'm here with all of you. So it was like a curse to me. But it became a blessing, because otherwise I may never have met any of you. And I wouldn't have the opportunity to serve you. But another part of that lesson was, a few years later, this person had some marriage conflict, and he was ordered to take sannyas. Do you like this story so far? There's a lesson to it. And he was mortified. He was devastated. And he came to me and asked what he should do. I was beginning to learn the dynamics of how material energy and how Krishna's mercy works together. And I said to him, if you... If we expect something to do, somebody to do what we tell them to do, then it's a matter of time till we are going to have to do the same thing. You preach to me in a certain way, and now you're expected to do what you wanted me to do. It's reality. Narada Muni, he cursed people out of compassion. But if we look into his background and foreground, he was one of the greatest examples of how he transformed curses upon himself into blessings. Therefore, he was really qualified to curse. or to bless in that way. Anyways, this person asked me what he should do, because he was really, really in trouble now. And I told him, this is a vicious cycle going on here. You told me what I should do, and now it's coming back on you, so I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if we just accept whatever comes as the Lord's mercy, we will definitely benefit. Anyways, that person left our society. And as of now, 30 years and more later, he's not come back because it was just too much. We are responsible for what we expect of others. We are responsible to live by what we teach. Yes, Narada Muni cursed Nala Kuvera and Manugriva. We heard when he was just a little boy, the son of a maidservant, he's living in the jungle, associated with great Bhaktivedantas, sadhus. For 4 months during Chaturmasya, he was listening to them speaking. And as a little boy, he was only about 4 or 5, he couldn't really understand what they were saying so much. But because he served them and pleased them and took their prasad with their blessings, he was blessed by them because of the enthusiasm he had to please them through his service. So even a little boy that age, he was able to assimilate and understand the very essence of everything they spoke. Shushu Shroshadanasya Basu Deva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Viprapunjatiratana Sevanat. The Shriman Bhagavatam tells Srinbhatam Sukata Krishna Punja Shravana Kirtan. By developing a taste for hearing of the Lord within is so pleased he cleanses our heart of the anartas and reveals himself. But how do we develop that taste? By rendering service to great souls with humility and sincerity. That was his qualification. His mother was a maidservant and he served with sincerity to please them. He developed through the process love for them and trust in them. And whatever they spoke, it deeply penetrated his heart. And soon after that, his mother was bit by a serpent and died. He had no father, no brothers and sisters, no uncles and aunties. There was no Ladies Northcote Hindus orphanage to bring him in and give him prasad and take care of him. He was alone with nothing and no one. And he took it as a blessing. This would be considered a great curse of providence on a 5-year-old child to have nothing and no one in a jungle. But by the association and the blessings of these great souls, because he was blessed by sadhus, he was able to see the most painful, impossible curse to be a blessing of God. Now I have nothing else except to find Krishna. And that's what he did. Yasya ham anagrinami harishe tatanam shanai. Shukadev Maharaj quoted this. He had nothing. But because he took it in such a positive spirit and searched and searched and searched and went deeper and deeper and deeper, in his next life he became Narada Muni, son of Brahma. He was given the Veena by Krishna. Such a benediction, traveling around. And he just wanted to do the will of the Lord. Narada Muni had no animosity, no anger for anyone. He was just doing what's good for everyone. He saw the potential. In little Prahlad, he preached to him in the womb of the mother. And he didn't preach to Prahlad to be a brahmachari, because Prahlad was meant ultimately to get married and be a king. He was a disciple of Narada Muni. And little Dhruva, Narada Muni met him in the forest and transformed the curse of Dhruva into a blessing. And Dhruva also went back and got married and became a king. So Narada Muni knew exactly what was good for everybody. He wasn't one of these like fanatical brahmacharis that everyone has to be a brahmachari. Many of his greatest disciples were kings with wives and children, but they were akinchana gotra. Because by Narada's blessing, they understood nothing is mine. Akinchana gotram doesn't mean you don't have anything physically. It means you do not have any attachments to the misconception that this is mine. Because there are people who may be avadutas or swamis who have no possessions, no bank account, no property, no family, but they may be attached to their knowledge, or maybe they may be attached to their renunciation. The renunciation of everything could make them feel that I'm better than somebody who's not so renounced. That means they're thinking in terms of I and mine. Akinchana gotra means we don't claim anything to be our own. Our intelligence, our knowledge, our fame, our popularity, our wealth, our position, this body, this anything, it all belongs to Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is Krishna's property. I'm just a servant, an instrument. That is akinchana gotram. No attachment. We often quote Srila Prabhupada when a devotee, a relatively new devotee, in those days, even the senior-most devotees of ISKCON back in the 60s and 70s was a relatively new devotee. Devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to renounce everything. The person was really thinking that Prabhupada would be pleased with him. And Prabhupada was pleased with him and gave him an answer. You have nothing to renounce. Everything belongs to Krishna. What do you have to renounce? The only thing you have to renounce is the egoistic misconception that you have something to renounce. Hare Krishna. Akinchana gotra. Prahlad, Dhruva was akinchana gotram in the jungle, and he was also akinchana gotram when he was the king of the world by the grace of Narada Muni. So as he was traveling around to the sons of Daksha, he understood what was good for them, and he preached to them Bhagavad Dharma, and they became brahmacharis. And Daksha was not happy. So we created some more sons and sent them to do tapasya and said, don't follow what your other sons did. I mean, your other brothers. And then Narada Muni approached them. and tell them, your other brothers are really happy. In so many words. So they became brahmacharis. And Daksha was wild with anger. Now, Daksha is not just some, you know, father living in Malad or something like that. He's a heavenly, powerful person. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Daksha, he's living in heavenly planets, and he's among the demigods. He's one of the most highly respected people in the universe. His physical beauty, his effulgence is supernatural. His intellect, his power, he's a Prajapati. That means he's, on behalf of Brahma, he's procreating the population of the universe, not just the world, the earth, the universe. Unbelievable personality. His daughters are marrying great rishis and sages who live practically forever. And when he comes to these meetings, it described when he walked into this one assembly, all the rishis, sages, the greatest of the Brahmins, and even the demigods stood up with awe and reverence to receive him. Only Shiva didn't, because he was absorbed in meditation. He didn't even know Daksha came. And Brahma didn't, because he's Daksha's father and ultimately his guru. But every other demigod, rishi and sage, stood up to receive him. Can you imagine what kind of a powerful person he was? Daksha was furious on Narada Muni. And he blasphemed Narada Muni with vicious words. You are a pretender, you are a hypocrite, you are a cheater, you are misguiding society. And then he cursed him that you will not be able to ever stay in one place. Now that's an intense curse, because Narada Muni lives for a long time and he's never allowed to stay in one place. He's got to always be moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. Of course, he doesn't have to take airplanes, which is really taxing on the health. He chants a mantra and he goes somewhere else. But he was cursed. And how did Narada Muni take that curse? As a blessing. He didn't react to Daksha, because Daksha said that curse not with compassion, but with anger and a type of hatred. He wanted to make Narada Muni suffer. That was his intention, to make him suffer for what he did. He was not trying to uplift Narada like Narada did to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. He was trying to get revenge on him. You made me suffer like this, now you suffer even worse. And for Daksha, because we see through the eyes of our own attachments in life, for somebody who's really attached to their home and their security and their stability like Daksha, that's a really bad curse that you can't stay anywhere. But Narada Muni, even though it was spoken with so much vengeance, he accepted it as a blessing. Because Narada Muni's motive in life is not to enjoy. His motive in life is to serve. So in whatever situation, the question is, how can I serve? Not how can I be comfortable and enjoy. So to Narada Muni, oh, this curse is a blessing. Now I have an excuse where I don't have to ever stay anywhere for any length of time. I could just keep moving and chanting and spreading the glories of Krishna's qualities and his pastimes and his holy names. So Narada Muni was fully qualified and realized to give curses that were blessings because he was fully qualified and willing to accept curses as blessings. This is a great Vaishnava. To appreciate a Vaishnava's compassion. Banchakalpatarubhyascha. Devotees are compared to trees. This is a good subject. They're compared to desire trees because they can fill the innermost desires of the soul. And to the degree we actually understand what Vaishnava's motivations are, we can appreciate. Narada Muni was able to appreciate because of the blessings he received from the Bhaktivedantas in his previous life. And similarly, in the association of devotees, by studying Srila Prabhupada's books, by hearing his lectures, by hearing the lectures of saints like what we have here today, these two at least, we actually learn how to understand what is the compassion of a Vaishnava. Sukadeva Maharaj was talking about Srila Prabhupada's blessings. That people are gathered around asking, give me blessings, giving blessings, give me blessings. And Prabhupada said, I bless you. You become like these brahmacharis and sannyasis. One of my godbrothers, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for some time, told me that after a lecture Prabhupada gave, this one Indian man was following him everywhere, saying, please give me blessing, please give me blessing. And Prabhupada just kept walking because he could understand the intent of the person. He was very materialistically yearning for a blessing that would make him, you know, enjoy better. So Prabhupada just walked, and the person kept following him, following, following. Prabhupada went to his room, and the person went right to the door and practically wouldn't allow Prabhupada to close the door. He said, Swamiji, give me blessings. Please give me blessings. And Prabhupada looked at him, not with anger, but with compassion, and said, I bless you that your material life will be finished. And the person actually fell on the floor. And Prabhupada then was able to close it. Close the door. So he had something to think about. But Prabhupada, you know, obviously, it's not that literally necessarily that that person lost everything, but he definitely had the opportunity to lose that illusion and really think about, you know, what is life? You see, when you know you're going to lose everything, you start becoming more spiritual. what is really important, unless that intoxication of attachment and expectations is gone, we can't really look for what is beyond the truth, Krishna, the absolute truth. So we can appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas when we actually learn from Vaishnavas. Otherwise, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Pujai. Vaishnavas are not always so easy to understand. But if in the association of devotees, we actually learn what is the compassion of a Vaishnava, how they really are our well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes cry, literally, when he would think of Jesus Christ willing to be crucified just to show love to others, compassion. Srila Prabhupada would be very emotional when he would talk about Haridas Thakur being willing to be beaten through 22 marketplaces, willingly, only because he wanted to show compassion to others. And when he would tell us about Vasudev Dutt, who was willing to perpetually suffer hellish conditions to take everyone in the universe's karma on his own head, so that they could be happy with Krishna. This was his compassion. And Prabhupada's emotions, when he would talk about little Prahlad offering a prayer to Narasingadev, if you want to give me any blessing, benediction, give my father liberation. And as far as me, let me remain in this world as long as people are acting like fools and rascals in forgetfulness of you. This is the compassion of great souls. Their compassion for the soul of others, to liberate the soul from the misconception of the body and bring the soul to that ultimate reunion with Krishna, with the Lord. That is the compassion of devotees. And devotees see that the body and the mind of others is a means by which we could reach the souls. So devotees show compassion to the body and to the mind of others with the intent of utilizing, developing the medium by which we can actually reach that person's soul and bring it to Krishna. Mundane philanthropy is when our compassion ends with the body or mind. Spiritual is through the body and through the mind, because obviously when we're speaking to someone, we're going through their ears. Yes? Ears is a material thing, but transcendental vibration going through the ear is liberating their soul. And prasad, we're tasting it with our tongue, yes? Which is a mundane thing. And we're chewing it with our teeth. And we're swallowing it with our throats. And then it's going into our stomachs. And it's getting churned and digested by... This is sacred prasad. But when you give somebody prasad, we don't always think about what's going to happen to it. But that prasad is going in their stomach, and then acids are just breaking it down into all kinds of, you know, molecular particles and everything. And then some of it goes into the blood and other parts of it. It comes out. I don't have to go into details. But But it's not the physical food. It's the mercy that's within it, the prasad.
But that prasad, you know, the physical body is a medium by which we get that prasad to liberate the soul. The Mahaprasad incense we're smelling with our nose. And when we come before the Didi, the ultimate Mahaprasad of the darshan of Radha Gopinath, our eyes are seeing. And through these eyes, it's coming through into our brain. Because the brain is facilitating the eyes to actually be able to see, and the nervous system and its resident. And then with our mind, we're meditating on the deities. We're meditating on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Intelligence is a material element. But we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and taking that material element and using it as a medium. So in giving Krishna consciousness to others, our aim is one, to liberate the soul. Because we know we can help a person's body and we can help a person's mind a little, and that's nice, it's sattva guna. But they're going to die. It may happen today and it may happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. So what is the depth of that compassion? People will not be happy with health. Health is a facility, it's a medium by which it could be used for something wonderful. Certainly, there will be less temporary suffering if there's good health, and we want to see people like that. But that's not the aim. Because the health's going to fall away in just a matter of time. The soul is looking for one thing and one thing alone, Krishna. To reconnect with Krishna. Religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to reconnect with Krishna, God. Yoga, to reunite with Krishna, with God. That's compassion, to create that, to liberate the soul from the confines of ignorance and illusion and reconnect that soul to the fountainhead, the source of all pleasure. Sri Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yagyai Sankirtana Priya Yajanti Hishu Medasha Kaler Dosani De Raja Nastiheka Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Prajait. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults. People are so addicted to superficial, useless attachments. So addicted that they're willing to fight over trifling things and hate each other over trifling things and create immense, enormous, horrible karma over superficial attachments that mean nothing. But in this age of Kali, there's one benediction. Krishna has appeared in his name. And by taking shelter of the holy names, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. Krishna prema, ecstatic love, the need of every soul, the fundamental potential that is within all of us. To love in ecstasy and feel the supreme, unlimited ecstasy of Krishna's love. That is all through the chanting of Krishna's names. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught, the highest compassion that a Vaishnava could give is to induce people to actually take shelter of God's names. And to live in such a way
that we could chant the holy name and please Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained, without developing the character of a Vaishnava, humility, gratitude, a service attitude, forgiveness, self-control, then you could chant the holy names of the Lord. It may take hundreds of births. But if you develop, if you really try to develop the proper attitude of a Vaishnava, in this life you can attain that prema bhakti. The greatest compassion. But we require the blessings of the devotees to be able to appreciate a Vaishnava's compassion. And as Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was saying, through the grace of the devotees, we can appreciate not only a Vaishnava's compassion, but Krishna's compassion, which is actually coming 24 hours a day. If we just recognize it, if we tune into it, and we reciprocate accordingly. Gratitude is crucial. Srila Prabhupada explained, agyata sukriti, the beginning of one's spiritual life, is when anyone in the world appreciates any activity of a devotee or devotional service. That appreciation is an expression of love, whether we know it or not. And that's when our devotional life begins. So to the degree we appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas who are living with us today, the Vaishnavas who have, over the ages, given us so much, appreciation for the sacrifices Prabhupada gave us, appreciation for the teachings of how to appreciate. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's life and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life and Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life and the six Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Parama Karuna Pahunduijana. They are supremely compassionate. And ultimately Radha and Krishna, who appear as Lord Chaitanya. To the extent we can appreciate we can access, we could benefit in every situation in life. But the tendency in Kali Yuga is, instead of appreciating the intent of devotees to induce people to be liberated, we find fault, or we ignore, and then we just don't benefit. Appreciation of the holy qualities of Vaishnavism and compassion is very much what makes Vaishnav community beautiful and satisfying to the heart and soul. We were speaking in class this morning. Krishna, he was appreciating everyone's sincerity of love in Dwarka, despite their incredible differences. And how Srila Prabhupada was also, his appreciation of whatever little sincerity anybody had fanned the spark of that sincerity and made it grow
into a burning fire of enthusiasm for devotional service and the chanting of the holy name. So to rise above the tendencies of arrogance and envy and all of these other distractions, anartas within us, actually enables us to appreciate the compassion of the Vaishnavas. And at the same time, by learning how to appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas, that empowers us to overcome all obstacles of envy and lust and anger and greed and illusion. So I'm very grateful, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj and Shukadev Maharaj, for your beautiful words. Thank you very much. Gauranga Prabhu, I hope you appreciate our humble endeavors. Thank you. So we will now appreciate Srila Prabhupada's mercy by celebrating his foremost instruction to come together and chant the holy names of the Lord.